Well, the biographies of the Bible always present their subjects in a true light. In other words, what the Bible says is really reality about the one that it is describing. We get the real picture of their lives. And in every case, these famous biblical characters had some tough times. Their days were not easy. I recently heard someone speak on the topic, "Life is hard, God is good." And life is hard. It certainly wasn't easy for Moses to confront Pharaoh and then to lead the complaining Israelites out of Egypt and then through the wilderness for 40 years. That was not easy. It wasn't easy for David to hide in the caves from Saul or for Daniel to spend the night with the hungry lions. And we can mention Christ's disciples. Everyone but one really suffered martyrdom. And of course, Paul, who said of his life in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11, "Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place." He wasn't even sure he would have a place to go at night. "And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled." In other words, criticized, we bless. "Being persecuted, we suffer for it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and as the offscouring of all things unto this day." That's how Paul described what he was experiencing. Certainly Paul's words at the end of his life further describe his earthly journey of something being hard, very hard. When he said, 2 Timothy chapter 4, "I have fought a good fight." That sounds like hardness. "I have finished the course." You know, if you're going to finish something, it takes some work. It takes some effort. "I have kept the faith." Frankly, these last 3 months really have been a vivid reminder that life has its tough times. That what we think is right and normal can be snatched from us so quickly. And so what is the purpose? What is the reason for this wilderness wandering? Why does God allow them to so drastically, so invasively interrupt our tranquil sea of life? Well, I say to come to know our Lord, to come to know Jesus in a truly personal way. I think of Paul, in verse after verse, we see Paul's heart for knowing Christ. In Ephesians 3, verse 19, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Philippians 3:10, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death." 2 Timothy 1:12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Paul said, yes, life is hard. I mean, I don't think there's a person, a Christian, who has lived a harder life than Paul. But what did he say? And keep in mind, 2 Timothy was probably the last book he wrote. He said, "I know whom I have believed. I know him. And I'm persuaded that he is able." Paul knew him in such a way that he knew that Christ would keep him, would sustain him, would see him until the end, that he would be faithful to Paul to the end. And you know, that's really one of the facts about our Lord that he wants us to come to know. That he is faithful. He is faithful to us to the very end, no matter what we go through. For many of us who grew up in church, I think we can safely say we came to know a lot about Christ. I mean, I think of some of the first Sunday school lessons. I remember hearing for the first time the story of the Good Samaritan. And I thought that was such a fascinating story. The priest didn't stop by. The Levite didn't stop by to give aid to this man who was left for dead, robbed and left for dead. It was the Samaritan who was called the Good Samaritan. I thought that was just a wonderful story. You know, but we know a lot about the Bible and about Christ. But I think we really have to ask ourselves, do we know Christ in the way Paul came to know him? Do we truly believe that he is faithful? That he is faithful and that he will see us through? He is faithful to us to our very end. Do we believe he's faithful? You know, to really get to know if you can depend on someone, you've got to get to know that someone. You just don't all of a sudden put your trust in someone. I mean, I wouldn't have asked Wayne to come up here and Rusty to come up here and Chuck and Rebecca if I didn't trust them. I mean, there's a certain trust that you gain when you come to know someone in a personal way. You learn you can depend on them. I know I can depend on Pastor Beck. I know I can depend on Pastor Zach. Why? Because I know these gentlemen in a personal way. I know that they are faithful. Do we know that God, that Jesus, is faithful to the point that we are willing to trust him no matter what we're going through? Sometimes we may be like Philip, who said to Christ in John 14:8, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Well, oftentimes God uses the tough times of life to wean us from the daily here and now, from trusting in what we have around us, what the world can we seemingly feel provide, so that we might begin to desire the heavenly. And I pray that that is happening in our lives, that the things of this earth are growing strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I'm going to just briefly give you four things, four results that come to pass when we truly come to know the wonderfulness of our wonderful Lord. We come to know the sufficiency of God's grace when we come to know the wonderfulness of our wonderful Lord. We come to know the sufficiency of God's grace. And this happens as we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John tells us that Jesus was full of grace and truth, which therefore means in knowing Christ personally, we come to know the strength, the adequacy, the favor, the goodwill, the love of Christ, the righteous influence of his Spirit, the moral strength to do right, which then affects everything from what we say to others and how we say it to others. And so what does knowing of the sufficiency of God's grace tell us? That we can, that our speech can be marked with grace. Remember, grace is given to the humble. And the humble are people who are dependent people. The proud are people who are independent people. And the problem is we are independent of God when we have pride in our hearts. But here, God gives grace to those who behave toward others in a considerate, patient, pleasing, helpful, not hurtful way. We show them God's grace because we know of the grace of our Lord Jesus that is being shown to us. Our heart is established with grace. We live out what we read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, "Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." My prayer for my own heart, my prayer for Westside during this really, I would hope, maturing time would be to bring to pass the life of Jesus in us to the point that it is said of us that great grace is upon us all. Great grace. That when we come back together as a church family, our faith and trust in Jesus has become so much greater that we're able to manifest greater grace to others. Isn't that beautiful? That we can manifest greater favor and patience and kindness and love to others. A second result of coming to know the wonderfulness of our wonderful Lord is we then live in the hope of the glory of God. Meaning our hearts are assured that our ultimate destiny is to share in the very glory of God, to become purified just like Christ. It's called the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, which causes us then to glory in tribulation. For we know that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. We look at the hard times today, and we know here is evidence of God's refining fire. And so now, though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That we know that we live in the hope of the glory of God. And when we talk about hope, we're talking about something that's certain. And then a third result of coming to know the wonderfulness of our wonderful Lord is we understand the calling of our lives, which is to present ourselves as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, that we are not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We understand God's will, His plan, which is to serve the one who loved us and gave himself for us. What does this joy-filled life look like? Well, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." We understand the calling of our lives. Fourth result of coming to know the wonderfulness of our wonderful Lord is a realization that at the end of this life, we will see Jesus. We sing face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? I think of what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, after testifying, I fought a good fight, finished the course, kept the faith. He said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love or long for his appearing. Now think about that moment when you and I will finally see Jesus. Finally see the one who created the world and holds it all together by his will and omnipotence, who has power over all things, both spiritual and physical, who gave himself a ransom for all, who died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, who became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous, who daily pours forth on us his amazing wisdom, his abundant grace, his boundless love, who daily guides us, protects us, who stands with power and faithfulness behind every one of his promises, who never leaves us nor forsakes us, who then has just given us a new sinless, incorruptible, immortal body to live with him forever in heaven. COVID-19 will not be able to touch that body. Again, what will our response be when we, through eyes of faith now, we see Christ, but we'll see him face to face? I don't think this is even a good, adequate answer, but it will be a day of rejoicing. A day of rejoicing. Friends, there is coming a day, and you and I are 2 months closer to that day. Some of you I haven't seen for 2 months, but we are 2 months closer to the day when we will actually see Jesus face to face. We will look full in his wonderful face. For then our eyes will see and our ears will hear all that God has prepared for us who love him. And if COVID-19 could more and more wean us from this earth and cause us to more and more come to know more personally the wonderfulness of our wonderful Lord, then, my friend, it is worth it. It's so worth it. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small. When we see Christ, one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So let's bravely, by faith, keeping our eyes on the one that we have come to know in a personal and living way, let us run with patience looking unto him. So let us bravely run the race till we see Christ. We're going to see him. And I hope through this time that we have come to really believe that. Sometimes I wonder how much we really believe what we really say we believe. That we really believe we're going to see Jesus, and it's going to be soon. And so, yes, again, life is hard. Sometimes it seems unbearably hard, but God is always good. He's always faithful. He's always so faithful. I think of the song, he's been faithful. In my moment of fear, through every pain, every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone and my heart had no song, still in love, he's proved faithful to me. Every word he promised is true. What I thought was impossible, I see my God do. He's been faithful, faithful to me. Looking back, his loving mercy I see. Though in my heart I've questioned, even failed to believe, yes, he's been faithful, faithful to me. And why? Because he's a good God. In this COVID-19 storm, Jesus is a good God. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Do you see his work of grace in your heart and life? He is faithful to you and to me.